I want to share some personal stories this morning, which is actually a little bit out of my comfort zone. I love telling stories. I talk a lot. Some of you know that. But the serious stuff, I tend to kind of hide under a jovial whatever. But one of my goals, I just really want you to know why this church means as much to me as it does. Like Sam said, I've been a pastor here for almost 6 years. But if you ask me, my relationship with this church actually started a dozen years ago when my in-laws, my wife's parents, started attending here. They had just moved to Glen Mills, and they stumbled across Brandywine, and they loved it. And so they started attending, and they were coming every week, and we would come down to visit. I was a pastor up in Maine, and we would come down, and we would visit once or twice a year, and we liked it. We enjoyed the church. We enjoyed the preaching. It was fun. It was some of you remember the old sanctuary. I have seen it, even though it was a hole in the ground when I came on staff. A short time after they started coming here, we were getting ready to come down for Thanksgiving. We were excited. We were actually going to do a big family trip to Disney, right? So we're excited. Grandkids are excited. My in-laws are excited. And just before we got down here, they discovered a tumor in my father-in-law's throat. A big one. A big throat cancer tumor, and it was in there, and so that was our news for Thanksgiving that year, and we rushed down, and I don't think I've eaten a quieter Thanksgiving dinner in my life. 10 years later, I can say, we were all thinking it, and nobody was saying it. We didn't know if he was going to live through this. It was bad, And they discovered it, and they had to move fast because of the severity of it. So we're eating on Thanksgiving, having just discovered it a couple days before, and his surgery was going to be on Monday to open up his throat and pull out as much of it as they could. And the good scenario was if he survived the surgery, which secretly we were all afraid he wouldn't. The good scenario would have him waking up and going severe radiation treatments for much of the next year on his throat to kill any of the cancer still there. Some of you have lived through that hell or seen family members go through it. And the reality of the situation is there was a good chance that if he survived the surgery and survived the radiation, that he would maybe never talk again, which just seemed that much more harsh. This is a guy who loves the Lord. He's always served the Lord. And one of his favorite parts about church is singing in the choir. And we're just going, he's going to lose this. And that's a good result. And they hadn't told anyone yet. My in-laws, hey, I don't know if it was the shock they had just found out, the fear, just still kind of absorbing the news. I know we were. And we were sitting in church that Sunday. The next day is the surgery. I don't think any of us know what Pastor Bo preached on that day, right? We're just sitting in a row thinking this is what's happening 24 hours from now. And nobody in this room knows it. Nobody knows. And my wife and I have been talking, going, this isn't good that nobody knows. Because we're gonna go back to our home hundreds of miles away. And they're going to be doing this thing alone. And so we hatched a plan. We showed up for church that Sunday. I had my Bible. A good pastor. And at the end of the service, I left on accident my Bible in the pew. And we get out to the car, and oh no, my Bible, my favorite Bible, I must have left in the pew. I'll be right back. So everybody's waiting out at the car, and I run in. You may remember 10 years ago, there was this big guy barreled in the door, interrupted the whole receiving line trying to greet Pastor Bo, and cut into the beginning. It was me. I was like, I'm on a clock here before they start getting suspicious. I go up to Pastor Bo. I don't even know him, right? I mean, we've greeted each other a couple times as we visited over the previous year or two, which means he remembered my name. But I don't know how he does that. We ask him sometimes as a staff, how do you do it? And he's like, you just do. No. All right, so I rush, but I don't really know him. I don't know what type of church this actually is, and I'm hoping it's a good one. I'm like, Bo, look, you know, I understand it's a large church. I didn't know at the time, but this is a church of like 1,500 adults and kids that call this place home. We forget sometimes because our circle tends to be smaller than that, you know, but it's a large body. And I'm going, I know you're probably busy. If there is some way you could find someone to accidentally show up at this hospital tomorrow and pray with them, they are freaking out, but they're not telling anyone. And they need prayer support. So he's like, okay. And then, I run out. Nobody knows. And the next day, I get to stay back at the house with our, at the time, two sons. We eventually had four because why not? I'm staying behind at the house with the two younger sons while my wife and her mom and her dad go off to the hospital. And I'm just kind of waiting for updates. And praise the Lord, he lives through the surgery. My wife, my mother-in-law, they come back to the house. And Laurel, she's going to grab some food and then head back to be with Herb. And she walks in and she's like, Matthew, you are never going to believe what happened. I'm like, really? Tell me. She's like, out of the blue, Pastor Bo comes walking down the hall. Just happened to be there. Prays with us, says he's going to get the rest of the pastors praying and all. And she's like, it's incredible. I'm not sure I ever told them. Heather and I told him, so they might be learning that for the first time at the traditional hour, but I remember just thinking, good. Like, we're going to go home, but there's people here plugging in, right? And so we go back home, and we pop down for visits back and forth, and we're hearing from my in-laws the updates and the struggle and going on, and my mother-in-law told me one of the times they were singing the worship service and everybody turns to greet each other partway through. And so they introduce themselves to the couple in front of them and say, hi, we're the Schrocks, and you are. And they're like, oh, you're the Schrocks. We've been praying for you. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah, Pastor Sam said there's this couple that just really loves to sing. And he's going, throat cancer. And so all of the music groups are praying for you. And it was just kind of this moment for my in-laws of, we're new here. Like, this church cares that much about all these people are praying for us. And for them, it was a real deciding moment of jumping in and getting involved more in small groups. And eventually, my father-in-law, he did live through. He did eventually get his voice back. If you see, the next time you watch the choir sing, there's going to be a guy in the back row looking way more enthusiastic than you would ever expect. And that's my father-in-law, just belting out praises to the Lord in this church that supported him so much during that time. And for my wife and I, living far away, there are no words to express what it meant to us to know that even though we were away, this church was there for my in-laws. I love this church for that. Like, I will never be able to, to express the gratitude for that. We continued to visit over the years after that. And here's the deal. For me, I've visited a lot of churches over the years. I'm a pastor's kid, and then I'm a pastor, and I bounce around. And there's generally two types of ways I experience going to a church. One, they expect me. Pastor Matthew's coming to speak or whatever, and so people are waiting, and they're like, hello, oh, we're so glad you're here. Oh, look at these cute boys, so many. When I was 19, I rented a room from a family. They had five boys between the ages of 4 and 12, and at the time, I thought, what is wrong with these people? They can't control their kids. Like, if I were them, I were this, and I knew nothing. I have four boys between 5 and 12, and I have no idea what I'd do if there was a fifth one in the mix, right? So one, either churches expect us because there's Reverend McNutt coming, or they have no idea who we are, and nobody says anything. I don't know how many times I've walked into a church, and nobody says anything. Especially when we were in our 20s, we had these little boys running around, late 20s, and oh man, they're jumping on the stuff. And I remember one church I went to; it's very vivid to me. I walk in, clearly did not know where I was going, and the guy is standing there with all of the bulletins, not saying a word to me. I'm like, come on, man, you can't not see me. Right, like I'm right here, nobody else is in the room, didn't say a word to me. There's so many times where I've gone places that just haven't been, well, every time we ever came through those doors, person after person after person after person greeted us, welcomed us, offered to help get our kids to where they need to go, guiding us around through. And it wasn't because we walked in the door with my in-laws who you happen to already know, because my in-laws were in the choir. So they would show up early for choir rehearsal. Hey, I wasn't working at this church. I wasn't showing up early. Right? So we would walk in without anybody with us that anybody in this church knew, and we were always welcomed. I love that. I love that because I felt like I'm getting to know what this church is actually like when they're not faking it for anybody, and it's good. And six and a half years ago, my mother-in-law says to me, hey, Matthew, our church is looking for a new youth pastor. I knew nothing about the youth program other than that the previous guy was here for 12 years, and that just never happens. Youth pastors average a couple years, and I was like, well, there must be something going on right there that this guy lasted for 12 years. And but I really genuinely knew nothing about the program, but I remember my first reaction was, Yeah, I want to be a part of that church. I love that church. And that's the type of church that's there for people in their dark hours. That's the type of church that welcomes people they have no idea who they are and who aren't coming back because they live somewhere else. That's the type of church where the pastor, oh, man, I could learn a lot from him. So like, yeah, I want to be a part of that church. I want to raise my kids in a church like that. So I applied. And I got it. Just in case. Since coming here, the last 6 years, I've really grown to love this church. This church, it's incredible. I've gotten to know people through the groups and through the service and through the activities and through the youth ministry. There are people in this church that my wife and I know we can call any time of the day or night, and they're going to be there for us like that. We have four boys, so we make the occasional trip to the emergency room. And there are people that we have dropped our kids off on the way with no warning who drop everything and are like, yeah, we'll take a bunch of boys in today. You know, recently my mom moved down here. And I remember, as much as I wanted her around to be with her grandkids, I remember going, oh, I want my mom to be a part of a church like this. You know, where she can jump into a women's group and get to know some other women, and she can join the choir, and she can hear good teaching, and she can get to know people that are going to love her and accept her. And I love that when she did, a bunch of people, just like every time I've moved, because we first were in a rental house and then we bought a house, and more people than we needed showed up to help us move and to help her move. I love that. I love my third son. When he was 4 years old, so 4 years ago, was diagnosed with a condition called scleroderma. It's incredibly rare. So rare, they haven't discovered a cure yet. They don't know what to do about it, and so the treatments are experimental, and this is going to be something that he fights for many years to come. And so he's on a lot of medications, and he's had surgeries almost every year. He's a trooper, though. The first time, because he's on all these medications, there's a lot of potential for risk. So he has to get blood work done every few weeks. So the first time we take him in, he's 4 years old, to get the blood work at AI, I had to pin him down. He's screaming and crying. And I remember looking at my wife going, we're doing this every few weeks for how many years? And he got tough quick, right? Like pretty soon they just do it, and he's like, give me my stickers. And so one of the days when he's five, he comes walking in. He's really quiet. He wasn't talking to anybody. He just comes walking in. All of the nurses at this point know him. Hey, there's Noah. He's getting so big. And he comes walking in. And I'm with him. There's some teenager. They're punks. Just kidding. I like him. But this guy goes, oh. He's sitting in his thing. He's about to get blood work and all that. He's like, oh, that's a little guy. He's going to cry. And, my son, he's just kind of walking in. And the nurse goes, are you talking about Noah? That's the toughest kid I know. He's going to do better than you. And he doesn't say a word, right? Noah doesn't say a word. But he kind of, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of, that was a cool moment. But here's where I'm going with all this, right? Like, as much as I love this church for the way you guys have supported me and been there for me and impacted me and loved me and God, I love you for that. I'll never be able to express how much I love you for all the people that have been praying for my son year after year after year and reminding me of that and reminding my wife of that and being there and continuing in the years to come as he continues to struggle with it. I love that my kids love this church, right? They just love it. We have an incredible children's ministry, incredible Sunday mornings, incredible Wednesday nights with Awana, incredible special events, incredible Christmas choirs, incredible, like all these things that the children's ministry, it's just incredible, and I love it, because when I was my kid's age, I didn't want to go to church, right? Like I had a fight with my parents, I don't want to go, I don't like it, the Sunday school teachers are mean, and it's boring, and the pastor's weird. I was a pastor's kid. I didn't like it, and I argued from about the time I was 10 years old through my teen years. My kids love it here. My oldest is 12. He's inviting all of his friends all the time. We're always like, kid, we don't have enough room in our car for these friends, man. You got to slow down. Last summer, during my vacation time, we went to a different church. I know. I saw another church. Sometimes it's just kind of fun as a pastor to go to, this is why I love this place so much when I originally would come here. No responsibility, I just show up. Nobody talked to me, it was great. My kids were furious, not because we were making them go to church, but because we weren't bringing them here. Like, what? We don't want to, and I remember thinking, I love that this is the type of church where my kids love to be here. Because here's, as a youth pastor, I see firsthand the benefits for these kids that grow up through this children's ministry and get the foundational things that they learn there and build the friendships that they build, how that pays off in middle school and high school. And I don't have to work to get my kids here. That's great. I love it. I love so much about this church. I love the people, the groups, the classes, the music teams, the service opportunities, the incredible variety that just makes up this body. Years ago, In my last church, I took the youth group to Six Flags in Massachusetts, because we were up in Maine. And we were really excited about it, because we were taking a group of about 10 or 12 kids. They had never been anywhere like that before. And so we were just pumped up, and some of them were kind of lower-income kids, and we were just thrilled to get them this trip. And if you don't know what Six Flags is, it's a theme park, right? All sorts of roller coasters, rides, incredible things. And we get there, and we spend 2 days, and we split up, and we're going through the park. And then at the end of the trip, we get in the van, and we're headed back to Maine, and we're kind of going around going, hey, what was your favorite ride? What was your favorite ride? What was your favorite ride? And they're saying this and that, and one kid's all like, I thought it was hilarious when McNutt got sick on the Batman coaster. And I'm like, your turn is over, man. Be quiet. Right? So we're going around, and I realized these two guys, Chris and Jeff, hadn't said anything yet. So I was like, hey, Chris, Jeff, what'd you guys think of the park? They're like, oh, we loved it. It was awesome, amazing, this and that. And they're saying, you know, they like this, and they like that. And I was like, what was your favorite ride? Oh, I don't know. They were just all so cool. I was like, oh, come on, which one? Well, you got to have a favorite. You got to have a favorite. If you could do one more, what's your favorite? You know, they're hemming and hawing. And finally, I'm like, which rides did you go on? Just tell me what you went on. And they're like, well, you know, we didn't really go on any. I was like, You didn't go on any rides. Why didn't you go on any rides? I said, well, we spent all our money on the admission. We didn't have any money for the rides. That's how I reacted. My stomach just like hits the floor. And I remember sitting there thinking, they don't know. The rides were included in the cost. Like, here they were in this park for 2 days and they didn't go on anything. It had never even occurred to me that I needed to explain to them that the rides were included. And why in the world is the place charging so much, right? And I was thinking about that in the context of today's message. Because we know, we say the church, and we know we've got this number of people involved in church, but we know there's a percentage of the body that for some of you, your only experience at Brandywine is this room, this service. Now, if you ask Chris and Jeff, they genuinely had a good time at Six Flags. They loved it. They saw people doing things, and they walked around, they enjoyed it. But the rest of us just felt like, oh, they missed out on what it actually was to be at Six Flags. And I would suggest that if for you, your primary involvement in this church is this room, the service, and you're not plugged in elsewhere, you have more in common with Chris and Jeff than you might realize. That there's so much more to church than this hour, right? Let me walk you through why we do what we do here. Because I was going, hey, I never explained it to Chris and Jeff. Maybe somebody hasn't taken the time to walk you through why we do the groups and the classes and the service and the opportunities that we do here. As a church, we have a mission. You can see it in your ministry news. It says, our mission, Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, introduces people to Jesus Christ, helps them to follow him, fully devoted followers of Christ, seek to know Jesus Christ, grow in Christ, and go into the world with him. The church helps them through public worship, classes, small groups, and opportunities to serve. And kind of saturated through that mission statement are some underlying values that kind of shape why we do the programs we do, or the events we do, or the classes we do, or the groups we do. And, you know, it's that we value worship. We value discipleship, which is kind of a that Bible word for being a student, being an active learner. It's interesting. The Bible doesn't really call Christians Christians. It calls them disciples, right? That there's an activeness to it. We value fellowship. Not the, you know, we know each other and we have a good time every once in a while, but a deep fellowship. We really know each other. We're there for each other in the good times and the hard times. There's a depth to it. We value service. We value evangelism. I'm hoping at the end of this you'll be able to write all that down on a pop quiz we're going to give you as you leave the room. No? Let me make it really simple. If we really condense down to the essence of what that mission statement, those values are about, it's that we want you to know Christ. And we think one of the best environments that we have for kind of that first step and continuing to know Christ is this room. We think worship is critical. We think getting together is critical. For some of you, this is where you came to know the Lord. And for some of you who haven't made that decision yet, this is where you're starting to come to know a little bit about what this Christianity thing is about, right? So we want you to know Christ. And we think the environment that's great for that beginning of the process is in here. We want you to grow in Christ. We want you to know. We want you to grow. And we think the environment that is just incredible for that is our classes and our small groups. Our classes and our small groups. And we have so many different classes and we have so many different small groups. There's just an incredible amount of opportunities. And hundreds of you are a part of those. And know why I would say that they're just so incredible. So we want you to know Christ, we want you to grow in Christ, and we want you to go in Christ. And that's where kind of our third environment comes into play of service opportunities and outreach opportunities, whether it's serving here in the church or going on mission trips or going into our community through different things that we organize, because we think that's a critical part of knowing God and growing in Him, right? So we've got kind of these three core things: know, grow, and go. And we think it happens in our worship service, in our small groups, in our classes, and our opportunities to serve and do outreach. Here's the takeaway. I have two. Two things, if you walk out of here, I hope you remember. One is I want you to commit to God's plan for the church. I hope that's here. You know, like, God's plan for the church is happening in a lot of churches. We're excited about what's happening here. But I want you to commit to God's plan for the church. What do I mean by that? Over and over throughout the New Testament, God makes the comparison of the body of believers of the church to a literal body. There's different parts, and they're all equally important, right? We value our body, and we value all these different parts, and there's teachers, and there's encouragers, and there's preachers, and there's people that are serving, and there are people that are doing this, and there's so many different roles, and God talks about how it all together makes this incredible thing called the body, which is the church. Right? And so I think about that and I go, that's God's plan for the church, that we all be an active part of this body, which is more than just this morning. Here's Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body, some translations actually put church, of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I really love how Ephesians 2, 19 through 21 puts it. Ephesians 2, 19 through 21 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of God. I love that word picture of just what happens when we're all joined together and we're working and we're pursuing God together. So my first point, I want you to commit to God's plan for the church, to be involved, to be plugged in, to really go deep into this church. The second point is to take the next step. For every single one of you, there is a next step when it comes to God's plan for the church. In our particular context, you know, I already kind of laid out our environments and what we value. You're already a third of the way there. You're here in the worship service. That's our first step, right? For some of you, the next step is to get involved in a small group or a class. That can be intimidating, right? Because we think, oh man, am I making a lifelong commitment to this thing? They bait and switch, they trick me, and then I'm in there for life. We have groups and classes that range in commitment from 2 weeks to a year. We've got a Connect class coming up really soon. It's just 2 weeks. And it's all about all what this church is, all the different ways you can get involved, the ways you can get plugged in. It's incredible. We have small groups. I love small groups. That's why they're the cornerstone of what we do with students, right? Because in them, you really start to get the depth and the growth and the fellowship and the challenging each other and the spiritual growth and the serving each other and just being there. We have small groups that range in commitment from a few weeks to a couple months or more. We actually just came out with, and you can grab it on the way out if you want, these booklets that just lay out all of our classes and small groups that this church does. So grab one. Check it out. See what there is, if there's something for you and you haven't taken that step yet, to plug into a group or a class. I'm not saying do both. Take on one thing. Take on a next step. If you want more information about it, when we take our offering, you've got these Connect cards in your ministry news or in the pew in front of you. Just put on it that you want more information about classes or small groups. That does not mean you have committed to a class or a small group. We're not going to show up next week going, hey, where were you? You check the box. That is a binding commitment. No, it means we're going to send you some information and let you know so you can find out a little bit more about it. What if you're already in a worship service, you're already in a group, or you're already in a class? What's the next step for you? It's to serve, to get plugged in to some sort of service. It can be here in the church. You can help out for a month in the children's ministry. You can help clean. You can help with our hospitality. You can help with students. You can help with adults. There's so many different ways that you can plug in for a one-time service or an ongoing service. You can sign up for one of our mission trips. In March, we're going to have a mission trip fair out here in just a few weeks, laying out all of the upcoming trip opportunities. Here's why I love it when people plug into service or outreach. Something just explodes. There have been so many times where I've recruited someone to help with something as a one-shot or a few times, and they come back afterwards going, I thought I was doing that just to get it out of the way, and that was the best thing I did this year. Right? There's something about us actively serving or actively sharing our faith that just triggers an excitement, a passion for God. There's just so much room for spiritual growth in those moments. So we love it, and that's why we value that environment. We think it's so critical. And you can find out about all of those different kinds of opportunities in our ministry news that you got on the way in here, or on our church website. It lays out different ways that you can plug in and serve and do outreach. Now, there's a couple of you looking at me going, McNutt, I already go to church. I'm so plugged into the second environment. I'm in a small group and a class. And I'm already serving and doing outreach. I've already done all your steps. There is a step for you too. See, I said there was one for everyone. For you, I would imagine that you have the same love for this church that I do, because you're being impacted in the same way that I have, through all these different relationships and environments and classes. For you, the next step is to turn around to the people around you that aren't plugged into some of those things and just share with them, hey, you got to check this out. Try it out for a week. Give it a couple weeks and see why it makes such a difference in my life, because I want you to experience that too. Invite your neighbors, your community, your coworkers. Because if you're that plugged into this church, there's a reason for it. You love this place. Share it. Let me close in prayer. And then when we take the offering, if you want more information about any of those things, just check it off on those connection cards. Drop it on the plate. We'll follow up with you, get you some more information so you can know more about it. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this church. And we just ask that you continue to help us to grow, that we would continue to become more and more the church that you want us to be. In your name, amen.